Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. It's Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Chris Lucas, who is the author of The Actor's Detective Guide to Writing Letters to Celebrities. If you'd like to speak to Chris, please call in at 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room, or you can email me at info@applecapitalgroup.com. And I'm going to read your question on the air. Well, Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Great. I guess just to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself and how did you come to write this book?
Well, I'm a professional actor. I'm a working actor. That's what I do for a living. I'm based here in the New York area. And I've been doing it for 20 years, but for the first 10 years, I made every mistake that most actors do when they start out. It was the arrogance of youth. I thought the phone was going to ring and say, hey, I've got talent, people are going to call me. And I didn't treat it seriously like a business. I didn't look at it and say, we're in an actual business here. It's not just, performing on stage and all. So as most things happen when I got married, my wife was the one that lit the fire under me. She said, come on now, you say you're an actor, but I don't see you doing. She said, I want to see results. And she challenged me, and she was right to do it. And I immediately went to the bookstore, and the first thing I did, I didn't go to the drama section, I went to the business section, and I bought at least 15 or 20 business books, and I spent a year giving myself, a basic business education. I'm not saying I'm a master at it, but I took all the principles I read there, I applied it to my acting, and lo and behold, my bookings went up in the last 10 years. I've worked steady at it, and it's all because I took it seriously as a business. So from that, other actors started coming to me, especially young actors, and saying, well, how did you do it? What's the secret? I said, well, there is no secret. It's just, take it seriously and look at it and do what anybody else would be opening. You're basically opening a small business, and the product is yourself and your talent. So once I started showing them that, then they realized, oh, okay, now we know what to do. But one of the big things I advocate in all of my writing and everything else is writing directly, writing letters, actually, not emails, not tweets or posts. Writing directly to the producers and the directors, cutting out the middleman, the casting directors or agents, who essentially they're like HR people. Same thing, human resources, go beyond them and go right to who would be the CEO, the equivalent of CEO. And they all thought I was crazy, but as they started doing that, they started booking stuff too. So they came to me and said, all right, you're telling us who to write to, but we don't know what to write. So I wrote a book for them. I wrote a book for actors that said, this is what you should write. I literally spelled it out for them and said, this is what you need to write. And one of the actors gave it to his mother to read, who's not even an actress, she's a teacher. And she said, this is an amazing book because my students, I taught them some of what you see in the book, and they were so excited to write letters to celebrities. She said, I never got them excited to write anything else ever, and they wanted to write to Tim Tebow and Katy Perry and Justin Bieber. And she said that the results, that they really got interested in writing. And then also she ran a charity. She ran the PTA, and they were doing an auction, celebrity auction. And she wrote to a bunch of celebrities using what she read in my book and got a whole bunch of autographs and memorabilia, and they raised a lot of money there. So she told me to expand it beyond actors, which is here we are now. I wrote the book, and it's pretty much for everybody, telling you the best way to get in touch with a celebrity and, more importantly, to get them to get back in touch with you.
Wow. So when you did that, when you went to the bookstore and wrote your letter and you got a first response, how did you feel? I mean, it's just, if you wrote something, it's strange that we write something, okay, they might respond back, they might not. In our mind, we set ourselves up, say, hey, they're not going to respond back to us. What was that call like when someone actually did respond back to you?
It was definitely eye-opening, because I had the same mindset as a lot of the young actors I talk to now. Is, oh, they'll never get back to me. They're so busy, they're so powerful, they're so important. Or the other thing that I hear all the time, which I was afraid of too, I'll get them mad at me. If I write to them, I'm going outside the box, I'm not doing what other actors do. And that's my point. Even if you're not an actor, don't do what everybody else is doing. Everybody's following celebrities on Twitter and trying to get them to tweet back or follow them back, or they're sending emails or they're going to the fan clubs. Don't do that. Just write them a simple, direct letter, and you'll be amazed at the responses you get. So I did that, and I saw these incredible responses, like Sidney Lumet, who's an Academy Award-winning director. I wrote him a letter, and I didn't even ask for anything. I never ask. I just sent him a letter saying, I like your work, you know, very complimentary stuff. And he called me up a few days later and said, I'd like you to come down to my office. I sat in the office there, amazed that here I am in Sydney. He directed Dog Day Afternoon and Serpico and all these great movies. And I'm sitting across the desk from him. He got lunch for us. And in the middle of the meeting, he said, I have a new movie coming up. I'd like to give you a role in the movie. No audition, nothing else like that. Just from a letter, brought me in and gave me a role in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it does work. And then, you know, obviously that's not going to happen every time. But had I not written the letter, I wouldn't have been in that position. So.
Wow. And now you're in the New York area. Do you have to be in Los Angeles to get work, or you can be in New York as well?
No, you know, the great thing, it used to be you had to be in New York, Los Angeles, and to a lesser extent, you know, Chicago, Nashville, places like that. But now, with the internet, there's so many opportunities out there for actors, you know, on YouTube and everything else. You can create there's a kid that's on Nickelodeon now, Lucas Cruikshank, does a show called Fred. And I think he's from the middle, somewhere in the Midwest, that he and his buddies just made a bunch of videos on YouTube. Nickelodeon saw them, picked it up. Now he's a multimillionaire. He's doing a TV show. So in our day and age, you know, you can use the internet for amazing things. You don't have to be in New York or California, but it certainly helps if you're here. But with letters, definitely, you know, you can be anywhere in the country and write a letter, and then if you get that invitation to come out west or come out east, then you make the trip.
Wow. So when you got your first assignment about writing a letter, and you did this, you did the movie with him?
Yes.
Okay. And what's this like when you actually go onto a set, and do they send you a script ahead of time and for you to read, and then you all of a sudden just perform it, or how is that done?
Generally, you get the script, you know, a few weeks beforehand, so you can obviously rehearse it and get together. And each director is different. Sidney Lumet likes to do a lot of rehearsal. Some directors don't like that. They like to just come in that day and shoot it. And movies are a little bit different than TV, where they're constantly shooting. But, yeah, you get the script beforehand, and you kind of, you know, figure out what your part is, and you go in. And it's weird because you're on set for about 15, 16 hours a day, and you're only shooting 5 or 10 minutes that entire day. It's constant, you know, back to the trailer, waiting for them to move the lights and the camera and everything else. They have amazing crews that do all this great stuff, and the actors, you know, we have the easy part. Just come in and act and then walk away.
Wow, that's simple. How do you market yourself as a business? You have this great tool for the community of how to write letters. And I'm sure in the book you kind of give them kind of sample letters, and they just have to customize it towards a particular person. But how do you market yourself as an actor?
That's a good question. As an actor, you know, it's, again, like I said, you're a small business, so you have to start by figuring out what is the product I'm selling. If I tried to be everything to everyone, if I thought that, you know, I could be the leading man like Brad Pitt and the silly guy like, you know, Will Ferrell or somebody like that, it's not going to work. You've got to pick which one you are. You know, again, if somebody tried to sell you motor oil and said this would be great as a shampoo and as a salad dressing and as a motor oil, you'd look at them like they were insane. It's the same thing with acting. Once you figure out what your product is, it's the same marketing rules as everywhere else. You know, what works for actors is you constantly send postcards every month to the people that are doing the casting, because you remind them that I'm still here. And, you know, people say, well, you know, they booked you last month. Aren't they going to hire you again? It's weird. It's out of sight, out of mind. If you're not constantly in front of them with a postcard or a letter or a headshot or something, they forget about you. And the analogy I use there is, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond. They've got that perfect marketing campaign where every month they're sending those big blue postcards to everybody gets them in their mailbox. And I'm not their demographic. I never, you know, that's my wife's deal, shopping at Bed Bath & Beyond. But this Christmas, she wanted a coffee maker, that same coffee maker you could buy everywhere else in every other store. And where did I go? I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, because every month I was seeing their postcards, and I knew we had a stack of them in the house. So their marketing worked. It took me 12 months to use it, but I went to them first, and that's what actors do. That's what you do as an actor. You market yourself with postcards, and they might not call you the first time, the second time, but if you're consistent with it, then they will call it. So, again, basic business principles.
Wow. That's really amazing. Just from simple postcards, just to keep you fresh on their mind by sending it. All actors are not doing that? I mean, it's just only a handful of people?
Luckily, it's only a handful. You know, if every actor did it, then everybody would be getting
jobs.
But it's funny. The ones that do it are the ones that book. You know, obviously, talent plays a part. You have to have talent there, but that's not necessary. There are plenty of talented people out there that don't get work. There are people far more talented than me, far more talented than some of the greatest movie stars in the world, but you never hear of them and they never work because they didn't do the marketing. They didn't look at it as a business. They were all about the art. And there's nothing wrong with the art part of it, but if you don't pay attention to the commerce part, what I always tell young actors, if you take, you know, it's called show business. If you could take the word show business and put it in real terms, the word show would be as tiny as a thimble. And the word business would be about 10 times higher than the Empire State Building and would stretch from New York to California. That's how important the business part of it is. You know, they want to make money. That's like we all do. So if you don't have a product that they can make money on, then they're not going to hire you.
Wow. You know, it's kind of ironically, I had a choir director friend of mine who started with Amos and Andy, was a mentor of mine, Justin Harrison, and he started in the 20s.
Wow.
And I, on Amos and Andy, and he took everything he could. He went to auditions almost to the day he died. And I said, why are you doing this every day? And he, as a choir director, he wrote Elijah Rock. He, you know, A Mammy appearing to Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, you name it. He took every role he can take, down to the very end, to the little commercial. So he,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, at 90-something years old, and last time I spoke to him, like I think he was 99 years old, he was still going to auditions every single day to get something, and that kept him going. And then the last year he decided, oh, I'm going to slow down, and he made it to 100 and passed away.
Yeah.
But is there a division in a sense that, for example, Justin Harrison, he took everything. During that time, you took everything to keep employed, and you really didn't need it, but you took it. However, is that the same case here? Are you categorized like you're in a movie, you're a print ad, you're a commercial ad, that's making sense?
Yeah,
or
definitely.
You're a TV?
That's a very good question. There are some people that do say to themselves, you know, I'm just going to be acting in movies or acting TV. But I'd say today, especially with the economy, the way, you know, most actors will take whatever comes their way because, you know, a job is a job. I was very fortunate. One of the letters I wrote was to Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks later, I got home and there was a message on my answering machine saying, hey, Chris, Jay Leno calling. You know, I want to say I got your letter. And I thought somebody was pranking me. There was a friend of mine, you know, doing it. And I looked at the caller ID and it said Tonight Show, Burbank, California. And he
wow.
said, I'll call you back at 5:00. And he did. Jay Leno called me back and we had a nice conversation, about a 15-minute conversation. And one of the things he said to me, which I'll never forget, he said, take whatever work comes your way, as long as it doesn't offend you. You know, if it's not doing something that's going to personally offend you or is against your beliefs and all that. He said, if you have no problem with it and your conscience is clear, work is work. He said, and you can only benefit from that. It can only help you. You know, don't ever turn anything down because, oh, it's just a print ad or it's just a commercial or it only pays $300. It's only that. He said, work is work is work. And if you look at his work ethic, you know, he never takes a night off. He's constantly working, and that's what got him where he is now. So, you know, that's like your friend, same thing. And what I always tell young actors is the beauty of our business is you'll never retire. If you love what you do as an actor, you can do it literally to the day you drop dead. I mean, if you look, Betty White is, I think, 90 years old now. She's still going strong.
Wow.
Christopher Plummer just won the Academy Award at 83 years old, I think he is. And it's very rare you ever see actors retiring. Gene Hackman is the only one I can think of recently that retired and stayed retired. And maybe Sean Connery is another one that you don't see anymore that's still around and still able. But most actors keep going and going and going.
You know, taking that account for like the Betty White, Betty has, I mean, over the past past 50 years, I mean, she appeared in all these movies, the same thing, the old school of doing things. And then all of a sudden, you know, she had her own show. She was on Mary Tyler Moore and go on and on and on. And it's like it's a a business cycle. She goes up, she goes down, she goes up, she goes down. And it's been consistent, you know, that business cycle. She doesn't fade out altogether, but she consistently kind of keep this several, you know, this landfill. All of a sudden you hear a whole lot about her, then it levels off, then, you know, it's like a cycle.
Sure, and you know, if you look at the cycle, the interesting thing is, it kind of applies to what I said before, it's how she marketed herself. At the time when she wasn't working, nobody could quite figure out what Betty White was, what her brand was. And then when she got Golden Girls, suddenly she became, you know, the funny, quirky senior citizen. People forget that when she was on Mary Tyler Moore, she was playing someone who was a nymphomaniac and who was crazy and who and you look at her now and she plays like the innocent, sweet old lady. That's completely different. But in those years in between, nobody knew what to do with her. So, you know, she created a new brand for herself, and now she is, you know, if you want the senior citizens that's sassy and is going to give you a little, you know, a little kickback when she's talking to you, that's who they hire. They go right to Betty White first because she was smart enough to say, okay, well, now at 80-something years old, what am I now? And, you know, as actors, that's what we have to constantly do. But businesses do that too. Businesses are constantly reinventing their marketing and figuring out what the market wants. So she was very smart in that respect.
Wow. So the purpose of your company, the Actors Detective, in a nutshell, is to give actors, upcoming actors, guides of writing to producers, to directors, to get the edge up. Is it pretty much what the book is about, kind of teaching them what they need to write.
Basically, yeah. I have the newsletter that I created. It's called The Actor's Detective, and the detective part comes in is that my staff and I do the work in finding what movies are coming up, what TV shows are coming up maybe a year from now, and then pairing that with the people that are producing it or directing it and giving actors that information and saying, you know, here you go. Here's the address. Here's the name of the person. Here's all that golden information. And it's up to them to take it in. You know, we don't physically write the letters for them, but that's where it started from, to get all that information, put it together. And the book kind of grew out of that. And like I say, now the book is meant for everybody, not just – it was rewritten for everybody, not just for actors. So the Actors Detective Newsletter – which on my website I sell the book, and then if you buy the book on the website, you get 4 copies of the newsletter. Even if you're not an actor, in the newsletter it's got addresses for people like George Clooney and for Brad Pitt and for Dolly Parton. So there's still, you know, if you want to just write a fan letter, that's in there as well. But it was basically originally meant for actors to tell them what's coming up and how do you write to these folks.
Now, for example, in your book you mentioned about the fan clubs. Are the fan clubs really connected with the, like Dolly Parton? Does it go directly to her or does it go to her fan club, which can be an independent?
I'm glad you bring that up because that's one of the things I talk about in my book is that, you know, a lot of the fan clubs, their information exists because celebrities, when they get to a certain level, like, you know, to bring up Dolly Parton or George Clooney, they get so much mail that they actually, sometimes their company will create a fan club to have all that mail go to there. And then they've got a staff full of people that sit in a room and read. And generally, when you write to that fan club, you write to that address, you're getting back a pre-printed postcard or a pre-printed, you know, autograph, 8x10 or something like that. And the letter never, ever, I mean, hardly ever reaches the person it's intended for, the celebrity itself. So we try to, you know, I try to find, that's, again, the detective part, the addresses that are not the fan club addresses, the addresses that are the specific, you know, that will go right to that person's office. I won't ever give a home address away, but it goes right to the person's office or to their management company or to their production company. So it stands a better chance of being read. And in the book, I give a few places where you can actually find those addresses on your own. You can do the detective work yourself.
Okay. And, for example, like they have a website that I think is IMB, I think that's what it is.
IMDb, which is where you go and look up information on movies and TV shows. They have a service. You pay, I think it's $9.95 a month, and you can get if you put in George Clooney, it would tell you exactly where his production office is and exactly where to write to. And that's not the fan club address. That's business-to-business address.
Okay. And is that a great resource as well?
It's an incredible resource. There's a few of them. There's that one. There's Contact Any Celebrity. There's IBDB, which is the Broadway one, or Playbill, actually, is the Broadway one, Playbill Pro. So there are a few of them out there that give you some great, you know, direct addresses. But most people, when they want to write to a celebrity, the first thing they do is go to the fan club address, and that's the wrong thing to do. So, again, in my book, I give the different ways to find it, and that's what the Actress Detective is. We give those as well.
Wow. So how did you come about writing this book? I mean, I know you mentioned at the top of the hour, hey, you decided to read business books and you kind of developed. How did this come about? Say, hey, I'm going to write a book to kind of teach people what to do like I've done.
Well, it's funny because when I had that conversation with the teacher, you know, she was a good teacher. She reminded me, she said, well, let me ask you, before you started writing to people as an actor, have you ever written letters to people before, celebrities before? And she made me realize that I've been doing it my whole life and that actually I got it from my father who's been doing it his whole life. So it's kind of something that, you know, I've always been doing and it's helped me in other ways. Now, I mentioned, you know, the professional ways it's helped me with Sidney Lumet and people like that, but I ran a charity for a while for blind children here in New Jersey, and we started writing letters to celebrities for autograph stuff, and we wound up getting 500, 600 items a year. And then one year we did a big celebrity salute to the troops. This was back in 2000, and we invited Bob Hope, and I never in a million years thought we would get Bob Hope to come there. He didn't come, but what he did is he placed a phone call on our behalf to all these major celebrities from the USO, and they all came for free to our event. And Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks donated 600 copies of Saving Private Ryan to give away at the event. Tom Brokaw couldn't make it, but he gave 600 copies of his book. All this stuff happened for free just because we wrote letters. So, the power of writing letters I saw applied to not just actors but to everybody. And then personally, I have two little boys. I have a 9-year-old and 7-year-old, and they are now writing letters. I see how excited they get to sit down and write to their favorite stars from Nickelodeon or Disney or to people that, they go see a movie and say, I want to write to that person. They come home now and say, Daddy, can we write to this person? Can we write to that person? So it's nice in a way to get kids excited about writing, too, because letters, unfortunately, are a dying art now.
Taking from the writing the letters and the hard sense versus the emails, does the emails work? You mentioned Twitter.
Right.
To me, Twitter can be overwhelming if you have a lot of Twitter fans.
Sure.
I'm sure that the person is impossible. They can be doing that all day long, dealing with Twitter when people are sending things 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and I can, again, it's a guarantee that unless they are on the D list of celebrities, and you know who those folks are, that, they were on one show 25 years ago, or they were on reality shows. Those people, yeah, they're writing their own tweets. But if you have somebody like a George Clooney on Twitter, he's not writing his own. Occasionally, he might say something to an assistant, oh, post this today. But usually, if you're getting a response, it's from somebody in their office. So I want to make it clear. I have nothing against email. I have nothing against social media. I use it all the time, obviously. I use the computer all the time. But a letter is far more effective for this reason alone, in that emails, and think about it yourself, how many emails do you get a day that your box fills up? And if you don't know the person, you kind of delete, 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 or you might look at it for 2 seconds and delete, or even if you do look at it and say, yeah, I'll get back to that later, and then it sits in the bottom of your inbox until you decide to clean it out. So emails, you get overwhelmed with that. Tweets, you get overwhelmed with. A letter, if you go to your mailbox now, just think in the last 10 years, how thin has that mailbox gotten? People are not writing anymore. So you used to get stacks and stacks of mail. A letter stands out. And I've had celebrities tell me this, that a letter has come across their desk and nobody else is writing to them. And they look at it and they say, wow, look at this. Somebody actually took the time to sit down and write a letter and put a stamp on it and write the end, which nobody does anymore. So you're actually standing out by doing the opposite of what everybody else is doing.
Wow. So have you also within the Actors Guide, I mean, I usually get calls from people trying to do movies all the time. So how do you get the information that you know what movies are coming down the road within the next year?
That's like a, trade secret. It'd be like asking Coca-Cola, what's in the recipe for Coke, or asking the Colonel what's in the 11 secret herbs and spices in the chicken. Yeah, I mean, it's come from 20 years of working in the industry, knowing a lot of people and getting to know producers and directors, that they kind of feed me inside information, and now I have friends that kind of give me tips and all that. So a lot of what we have actually comes before anybody else ever puts it out there.
Okay. Yeah, wow. Yeah, because I know we get requests for investors and trying to match investors to get projects done. So that's the only reason I was asking. I said, my God, they're always looking for financing.
Sure.
The other thing, what qualifies you to write this book to be a CEO or a detective? And I know you have many years of experience, but And you have a lot of inside information with the people you've been dealing with actors, not actors, with producers and directors.
Right.
And I'm sure that's how, kind of answer my own question, that's how you got all the information in order to get the book and the connections. When you sit down and write a letter and you customize it to this particular project or this particular actor, what's some of the things that you write in there to make it stand out so it doesn't sound like a chain letter?
But that's another good point. You don't want to make it sound like, you know, you're sending the same letter to every single person. So in the book, I actually give six different things you can do that will make your letter stand out. But just to highlight a couple of them, is just personalize. Basically, find a connection between you and that particular celebrity. And, you know, there is something out there. You maybe are from the same home state, or maybe you're, you know, you went to the same college. It could be even something as little as your mother's had the same name, or you're the same ethnic. Whatever you can find that's a connection, even as tenuous as you think it might be, you know, even though they're celebrities, they're people just like you and me, so they'd like to have a little connection when you're writing to them. That's the one thing. And then the second thing that out of the six I give, or probably the most important one, is that you never want to ask for something, because these celebrities, you know, you just mentioned a moment ago that people are constantly getting in touch with you and looking for financing and their handout. And, they, you know, they're well-meaning, but it's gimme, 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 please, 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 please. And certainly in show business, they hear that all the time. Once you get to a certain level, people are begging you for a job, or can you get me in, or can you get me on the show? So they don't want to hear that. Even autographs, as nice as people are about, you know, may I please have your autograph, that doesn't work either. What's effective is not when you ask them for something, but when you're seeking advice or seeking a mentor. That is the secret. That's what's gotten me responses all the time. It's just a couple of basic questions. You know, and you're just asking them, what have you learned? What are the mistakes that you've seen? What should I not do? All things like that, that people are flattered. They want to be a mentor. I mean, again, personally, if someone came up to you today and said, hey, Tim, can you tell me, you know, what's the biggest mistake you ever made, or what are problems you think? You would sit them down for a few minutes, because it's flattering. You say, wow, okay, yeah, somebody wants to know what I know, and you tell it to them. So if you hit them with that angle and from that approach, you're more than likely to get a response from them rather than gimme, gimme, gimme. So that's the biggest thing I advocate in the book, is really coming to them from a business-to-business approach or a mentor-seeking approach.
Wow. So when you write your letter, any advice on how you should write it? Should you go to a stationery store and really pick out some nice stationery, a nice envelope, and take your time very carefully to print or write your letter in that way so it stands out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The stationery part, what I use, basically, I go to the basic office superstore or whatever, and I get not the white paper that you would get normal that you put in a printer, you know, copy paper. I get a little bit finer grade. It's usually cotton or linen, but it's not expensive. It's a little bit more than – but, you know, I usually get something that's a little off-white or gray or blue. That does stand out a little bit, but you don't want to be sending neon-colored letters or anything too crazy. Same thing with envelopes. I use the basic old standard number 10 white envelope. You know, it doesn't really have to be anything more than that. It's more about the content of what you're writing than the actual station. You know, I had one girl actually a couple of months ago ask me, well, what if I spray perfume all over the letter? Will that make me stand out? And I said, which I thought would have been obvious to her, but if somebody's allergic to that or something, you know, then you're causing more problems. So don't try to be gimmicky. Don't try, you know, basic stationery and basic envelope will always do the trick. It's more about what you're writing than what you're sending it on.
What about handwritten versus typed?
You know, I don't really – I've never seen a problem with typing, because obviously people now have computers and they know it's not a cold, hard thing if you're typing it up on your computer and you're printing it out. As long as you sign it personally with your signature, and if I ever have a PS on the bottom, which I try to do in some letters, I'll write that handwritten. But to sit and write an actual whole letter, if you'd like to do that, that's great, but the problem with that is some people's handwriting is not so good. Sometimes if you're writing a letter, it can get to be two or three or four pages of, you know, yellow legal pad or whatever, and I advocate usually just a one-page letter is enough. You can get three or four paragraphs on a one-page printed letter, so it's not a problem printing. What I do say, though, is the envelope should never be a label. and should never be anything. Because that, right away, if you get something in the mail with a label on it, again, you've seen this in your own personal mail, that it looks like it was a form letter, or it looks like pre-printed, or it looks like some sort of sales, you know, pitch for you. So always handwrite the envelope, handwrite your return address, and definitely handwrite your signature. But the rest of it you can print out on a computer.
Okay. But even printing an envelope itself, you should actually handwrite it. Don't.
Yeah, I would say the envelope, I've had, again, a lot of this comes from, I've actually talked to some of these celebrities have called me, or some I've kept in touch with, and I have asked them when I was writing the book specific questions about that, and I'd say a majority of them said they really like it when it's a handwritten envelope. And, you know, it's the times we live in. They have to worry about this. With the anthrax scare that came out a few years ago, Tom Brokaw actually told me this, is that they really, if something comes in and it's a pre-printed label or it's a pre-printed envelope and they don't know who it's from, especially if it doesn't have a return address, they will usually never, ever open it, or it gets sent to, you know, an office three doors down or something, and they never see it because of, you know, again, security fears. So if you're writing it, handwriting it, and you actually put your return address in there, there's more of a chance that it will get to the hand of the person that you want to read it.
Wow. So in a nutshell, do you have time to read maybe like a small passage from one of your letters?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Do you want a passage from the book or a passage from one of the letters?
From the book and from the letters. And
okay.
We can take like a short break real quick, 40-second break from our sponsor, and then we'll come in and dive right into it.
Okay, great.
Okay, great.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
We're back with Chris Lucas, actor's detective guide, writing letters to celebrities. Chris.
Having me.
I'm sorry. There you go. I'm sorry. I was put on pause. Okay,
no problem.
I guess we'll go ahead and dive into, I think, one of the sample of your letters and something from your book.
Sure. Well, first I'll start with this is from the foreword of the book where I begin. I tell a few personal stories like I just told about some of the letters and the response I've got, but my favorite passage from the book is, it actually starts, it says, "By far the letter response that I'm proudest of is the one that's most personal to me. My dad, Emmy-winning broadcaster Ed Lucas, has been an inspiration to me my whole life. He was struck blind at the age of 12 by getting hit by a baseball, but that has not stopped him from enjoying 6 decades of professionally covering the game he loves. Dad raised my brother and I all by himself when my mom divorced him. He then had to fight for custody of us a decade later, going all the way to the highest court in the land, and eventually he became the first handicapped person in the world history to win custody from a non-disabled spouse. Now, if you said that his life sounds like a Hollywood movie, well, I felt the same way, and I was determined to do something about it. So in 2006, I wrote a letter about my father, and I have a picture of him at a Yankee Stadium celebration, champagne being poured on his head, to Sports Illustrated, which published a story about him in their February 27, 2006 issue. Director Penny Marshall read the story, and she was interested. She came to New York to meet my father, and was even there when he married his second wife at home plate at the old Yankee Stadium, the only couple ever to do so in the entire history of that stadium. I wrote Miss Marshall a letter of thanks, and she and her partners bought the rights to his story. They flew our family out to California to discuss Dad's story, and they had some A-list talent work on a script in pre-production. Fast forward 6 years later, and they're about to make a movie of my father's life story called Ed Lucas, starring Academy Award nominee and Hunger Games star Stanley Tucci as my father. It's scheduled for release in 2013, again, all from writing letters.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's my favorite passage because it means, you know, the person that means the most in the world to me, aside from my wife and kids, my dad. So, yeah, his story is coming out as a movie just because of that one letter.
It's really powerful, the story itself. And, again, the simplest things in life, it really is the most effective.
Right, and actually he got his start in broadcasting because when he went blind, he was 12 years old, he was depressed. So my grandmother wrote a bunch of letters to everybody in baseball at the time, all the famous people, Willie Mays and people like that, and they invited my father to come over to the bit because we lived close to New York, to come over and be their guest, and that's how he got his start in baseball. They kind of took him under his wing and they cheered him up and said, hey, you can do this, you can be a broadcaster, and he owes his life to letters, basically. So it came from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the letters I write in the book are I didn't want to put letters specifically from me because I wanted to kind of make it something that everybody could relate to. So I wrote letters from famous people to other famous people, or fictional people, I should say. So I'll read one of those, and you might get the in-jokes, you might not. But this one, there's a letterhead on this particular letter, is written to a charity. So I give 10 examples in the book of any kind of letter you want to write, to an actor, to a writer, to a director, and this one would be a letter that somebody would write on behalf of a charity. So the charity is called the Human Fund, and the person that runs it is Mr. Art Vandelay. So some of you might catch the reference there about Art Vandelay. If not, I'll explain in a moment. And it's written to Miss Carly Shea, who lives in Seattle, Washington. It says, Dear Miss Shea, hello, my name is Art Vandelay. I'm a volunteer fundraiser with the Human Fund, which is dedicated to helping people. The children that we help all love your webcast, and you've brought so much laughter to them that I'd like to thank you for that. You brighten their days. They love it when we serve them your recipe for spaghetti tacos. You are an inspiration to me as well. Each year we run a charity event for the Human Fund to bring money to the people, where celebrities donate items to be auctioned off. Last year we got stuff from Keith Hernandez of the Mets, Academy Award winner Marissa Tomei, and that third guy from the Three Tenors. If you, Sam, or Freddie could donate anything from your show, that would be great. Some celebrities like to scribble a doodle and send that to us. I've included a piece of paper in a return envelope if that's easier for you. We'd also be happy to send you a card letting you know that a donation was made in your name to the Human Fund. On a personal note, I myself am in the import-export business, and I dabble in latex manufacturing on the side. I was thinking of starting my own webcast for promotion, and after watching a few of your shows with the kids, I'd like to ask you for some advice. What would you say is the best way to get started? What do you do every day to come off with the material for your show? Who's your inspiration, and what is the habit that has helped you the most in life? Thanks again, Ms. Shea, for all the laughs, and thanks in advance for your contribution to our auction. I wish you nothing but the best in the years to come. Sincerely, Art Vandelay.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure, did you get the references in there at all?
Well, some of them I did.
Yeah, they're pop culture. Art Vandelay was George Costanza on Seinfeld. So a lot of that, again, I don't spell it out. It doesn't say at the end of the book, oh, by the way, this was Seinfeld. If you're a Seinfeld fan, you know, you'll get the Keith Hernandez from the Mets. And then Carly Shay was really, this one was for my kids. That's iCarly, the girl that's on iCarly. So it's George Costanza writing a letter to iCarly trying to raise money for his charity, which is not really a charity. So I tried to do stuff like that where it was a little lighthearted and silly. And, you know, it gives you the idea of what a letter should look like without it just being 10 letters from me to a celebrity. So, but all the letters are just like that. And if you notice, there were three paragraphs. The first one was making the connection. The second one was explaining what you're writing for. And the third one was, you know, as I said, asking for advice or asking a question. That's, you know, like anything in business, you need to compel them to want to write back to you. You need to call to action, as they say. So that's the call to action. If you ask a question in your letter, then a celebrity will more than likely write back to you because no one ever asks them questions. All they ever ask for is, can I have your autograph? Can I have this? Can I have that? So just ask a simple question. And you'd be amazed at the results.
Wow. Well, anything you would like to, awesome book. I mean, anything you would like to leave us with, of course, we're going to go through in a few minutes where we can buy your book and so forth. What would you like to leave the audience with about your book in a nutshell, and how can it help them?
Well, it can help in the fact that, like I said, it certainly, if you have children, if you're a grandparent or anything like that, or if you're a teacher, it's a great way to get kids motivated about writing. But really, I think that can apply to anyone. It's, mm-hmm. as I said before, letter writing's become a lost art. It's a shame that, the post office has become a pretty quiet place now. So I think the fact that, if it gets people excited about writing again and it gets people thinking, hey, it's a great way to get in connection with people and get out there, that's the biggest benefit, I think. And then just opening up connections. You never know what can come from writing a letter. As I mentioned a couple of times here, amazing things can happen just by writing a letter. So I think that's the basic message that I'm trying to get across with the book, that whether you're running a charity, whether you're trying to teach kids the importance of it, whether you yourself are looking, to make a connection with somebody you admire, a letter is the best way to do it, and this book is, this book shows you how to do it and how to have them get back to you.
Okay. So where can we find the book?
The best way to get the book, I have a website, celebrityletters.com. And mm-hmm. if you go to celebrityletters.com, the book is available there for $10. And in addition to the book, you get 4 free issues of the Actors Detective newsletter that I talked about before that gives you all the great celebrity addresses and the information. And also, if you buy the book from my website, I give you a consultation, which usually we sell for $100, where you can pick any 5 celebrities. It doesn't matter who you want, and I will find the direct addresses for you, and I'll work with you on coming up with a great letter for that person that I can't guarantee that they're going to get back to you, but I'll give you the best shot possible. So a personal consultation you get with it, you get the 4 free issues of The Actor's Detective, and you get the book all for just $10. And then this week I'm running a contest. There's a box. When you buy the book, it says, where did you hear about us? If they say they heard about it from your show and they put that in the box, on Sunday, this Sunday, I'm going to pick out randomly a name from the people that listen to it on show, and one person is going to win a celebrity letter autographed. I have a bunch of them, in stock from people that have written to me, and I'll let them pick from whether it's a politician or a movie star or a sports star. I have a bunch of them on hand. So, again, the website is celebrityletters.com.
Okay, perfect. Now, they only can get the book at your website. It's not available on Amazon or anywhere else.
It is. It's also, I should say that, in fairness, it's also available at Amazon and at Barnes & Noble and all the retailers online. And right now, it's just an e-book. It's not available yet in hard copy, but if they buy it from the other retailers, all the bonuses don't come with that. So if you wanted it with all the bonuses for just $10, then go to the website. But, if you just wanted to get the book for your Kindle or your Nook, you can also get it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, great. I really appreciate you coming on to the program. It's been great. I mean, a lot of wealth of information I think we can share with the audience, and hopefully some of the audience can take advantage of what you're offering. But really, really, I appreciate it. You come on to the show, and definitely want to have you on the show again sometime next month with some acting students, so they can get a chance to ask you some more questions.
Great. Thank you so much. And I wish your listeners success in writing their letters, and I hope they get in touch with me or in touch with you and let us know about any success they've had with people they've written to.
Okay. And again, your website address is?
CelebrityLetters.com.
Perfect. Well, Chris, thank you for coming on to the program. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Have a good day.
Same here. This has been another production of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this show on iTunes or podcast or Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank you for listening to the program. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.